throat. I loathe being a voice in her head, unable to force her movements to ensure she does what's necessary to ensure her own survival. How can she help an enemy at a time like this? How can she take so little for herself when a battle looms and give so much to a dog? Frustration burns as deeply as my rage. Does she not understand weakness is her enemy? With every drop of lifeblood she loses, failure moves from a possibility to a guarantee. Part of me wants to shake her and rattle her brain against her skull. Come on, help yourself. If she won't do it, I'll do it for her. Somehow, some way. She must be protected, whatever the cost. She needs me, and I think I need her. In the back of my mind, a memory arises. Just after our bond, she looked at me with absolute, utter acceptance. To her, I was family. I'd never really had a family. The something from before, the something I couldn't identify but suspected was longing. It strikes again, pricking my hollow heart. For the first time, that hollowness bothers me. Like the big bad wolf, I huff and I puff with indignation. Family is an illusion. Never forget. Even if I forsook my realm to be with this girl, giving up my home, my job, and the accolades I've earned in favor of the rancor I'll receive from Troikens, one day Tenley will leave me. No one sticks. You stayed, Biscuit says, awe crackling in each word. Well, we're a team. Yeah, but you stayed. Though she's panting and sweating, she takes time to scratch him behind the ear.
Are you feeling better?
Much. He leans into her touch. But you're not.
I'll be fine. Right now, we need weapons and a place to store the grenade.
He bounces up and stretches, testing his agility. I know the perfect place. Come on. His limp lessens in severity as he bounds forward. Tenley lumbers to her feet and follows after him. Sharp pains shoot through her legs. My legs too. Muscles burn and tremble, and bones ache. This poor sweet lass has it worse. Blood pools in her ankles, causing swelling, making every step agony. I bang a fist into the cold, hard floor beneath me with enough force to crack the wood. While I lounge comfortably in a cell, she is fighting with every ounce of her strength to free me. Despite her aches and pains, despite any consequences, her tenacity blows my mind. Nothing stops this girl, ever. Although, General Seamus might, if he's at full strength and she's not. Pang. I rub my chest. Return to the house, Tenley. We'll find another way to set me free. I doubt she'll obey, but I have to try. Have to do something.
There isn't another way. I'll continue on as planned.
Pang!
Is this how she won me over and got me to bond with her?
By keeping me on a mental carousel, always spinning, spinning, never sure what was up and what was down. How can she care about my well-being even now? There'll be no reason to open the cage if I'm dead. Return and we can have lunch at 1 and 2 drinks at 3. Eat pedophores at 5 and be in bed by 6.
Well, well, you certainly have my number, but I'm going to pass. Don't worry, though. I'll do whatever it takes to protect you.
I'll protect my own life, thank you very much. Do us both a favor and see to yours.
Careful, Killian. It almost sounds like you care about my well-being.
I sidestep that little landmine with a question, making sure my accent is undetectable. Why would my shadows want to hide memories of you?
I think they want you to forget me so that you'll betray me. I also think the light lets them hide those memories, so that you'll learn to trust me, even without the aid of your emotions.
And why aren't you learning to trust me,
I trusted you long before this, against all logic, emotion, and the advice of my friends.
I have no rejoinder. Guilt sidles up to me like an old friend. An old friend with a knife in one hand and a gun in the other. Hurt sizzles over the grid. Her hurt. My throat constricts and my chest tightens, but I don't care. I won't care. I'd rather she hurt emotionally than physically.
I would? What is wrong with me?
A girl is a girl is a girl, right? Yes, but this girl is mine. Stop, just stop. Claiming her will do me no good. I'll never be able to count on her. Count. The word gives me pause. Tenley Lockwood, count. A memory teases me, but shadows writhe, maintaining a firm grip on our past. Screw the shadows, screw the lights, someone tell me something. I slam a fist into the floor beneath me. I suspect Tenley and I had a sizzling connection before her first death. Problem is, that connection must not have mattered to her. Not enough, anyway. She still chose Troika over me. She will always choose Troika. So I will do the same. I will choose Myriad. Besides, nothing lasts, remember? Escape the cage, weaken Troika, return to Myriad with Tenley. Put the needs... No. Stars whiz at her sides as Biscuit leads her through a stairwell, then a gate. We have a similar travel system in Myriad, only there are no bright illuminations to signify movement, just a moment of blinding darkness, where you can't even see your hand in front of your face. The pair emerges into a busy metropolis, laborers working alongside leaders, messengers and healers, cleaning up debris. I huff and puff with indignation. Don't just stand in front of these people as if today is an average day.
Biscuit?
She says. Can't be helped, my little human. By the time word of your location spreads, you'll be long gone. Let's burn rubber. We got a lot of ground to cover and very little time to cover it. As the two hurry forward, Tenley receives smiles and waves from some of the throng, but glares from others. She scrambles for a distraction, asking the dog,
Why the name Biscuit?
I had a first life too, you know. In the land of the harvest, my owner named me, so you'd have to ask her.
If you spent your first life with her, Ten says, why weren't you assigned to guard her?
She decided to go to Myriad.
So why didn't you go to Myriad? Why didn't any of the animals?
Aaron called dibs on everything with four legs and fur and fish. Ambergine wanted dragons, snakes, and creepers like that. Suddenly a big bruiser steps in front of her and Tenley skids to a halt. Hey! He snaps. You owe us an explanation, little girl. Why did you vote for Archer Prince? He's a laborer. We need a general. Or do you want us to lose the war?
I want peace, she says.
Biscuit growls. Take one more step toward my girl and you'll lose a foot. I'm impressed, and I'm jealous of a freaking dog. He's a hero, and I'm a zero. Bruiser is lucky I'm not with her. I would have shut him up with my fists, and of course Tenley would have been angry that I dared to hurt one of her precious people. Paling, Bruiser backs off. The dog doesn't relax his I'll chew your foot off stare until Tenley runs her hand along his spine. The two hurry on without any more interference. Once they reach a more rural area, Tenley swipes a catsuit from a line of clothing drying in the sun. She discards her tattered robe and shimmies into the suit, careful not to look down. Don't want me to see your curves? Adorable.
You can see them as soon as you remember me.
Suddenly I remember everything. Honest. She snorts and I experience a flicker of satisfaction. Ignore it. Change the subject. Why do you protect people who don't like or respect you? I'm genuinely curious.
They dislike me now, they might grow to like me later.
Her tone is sharp, defensive. Interesting, I struck a nerve. You need their approval, do you?
No, I wasn't saying... Look, their feelings have nothing to do with anything, but they deserve a chance to live in peace, whether they like me or not.
I'm beginning to understand why her friends follow her so ardently. One of a kind. Fights for what she believes in, no matter the obstacles in her way. She is different. Okay, all right. There's no denying it any longer. She's different from other girls, boys, and everyone in between. Part of me cares for her, I admit it. The other part of me recognizes the danger she poses to me, to my future. That part of me wants to cut all ties and run. Embrace your feelings. Isn't that what I've been told all my life? If those in Myriad knew what I was feeling, they would change their tune.
Rise above what you feel, good or bad, and do what's right.
Tenley's voice drifts through the grid, and I tense. Did I unintentionally project my thoughts, prompting her response? Must be more careful. Biscuit leads her through another stairwell and a gate, through a vibrant manna field where she plucks petals straight from the vine. Those petals aren't as strong as the liquefied version, but they provide a kick of strength. The next stairwell leads to a snow-capped mountain with skyscraper trees and wild overgrown bushes teeming with the biggest flowers I've ever seen. A beautiful and treacherous landscape. Icy winds beat at her, worse than 1,000 needles poking and prodding her skin. Her teeth chatter. Biscuit enters a small dark cavern. Muscles heavy as stone, Tenley trudges after him. As warm air envelops her, she whimpers with relief. Two polar bears lounge on boulders, telling jokes.
Call a cow that eats your grass, one asks.
Don't know, the other says.
What? A lawnmower.
Laughter abounds. When the bears notice Biscuit, they jolt upright, ready to attack. The moment his identity clicks, however, they relax.
Hey, Biscuit, what you doing this far out?
One asks.
And with a human?
The other tisks.
You broke the beast code. Frick, frack, this is 10?
Biscuit says.
10, frickin' frack. Forget the code, guys. We need to borrow some weapons. And by borrow, I mean keep forever.
In unison, the bears ask.
Why?
The dog glares, the hair on his back spiking.
Because I said so. Why else?
Uh-oh, Frick says.
His poodle's about to come out, isn't it?
Frack gulps.
Oh, yeah. Give him whatever he wants.
Frick, the bigger bear, lumbers toward the back wall.
We got stags, oxies, and dazers, or you want something old school?
A single dart from a stag can trap a spirit inside a shell, preventing any sort of mobility and rendering both incarnations defenseless. That dart can also incapacitate a spirit without a shell, causing agonizing pain. Oxies age a spirit and shell until both are reduced to ash.
Yeah, Biscuit says. Those, all of those, new and old, whatever the human can carry.
In the back of the cavern is the most beautiful arsenal of all time. I weep with envy. There are different types of guns, just like the bears said, but also swords, daggers, and garrots. Tenley stores the grenade in a box before selecting a pair of short swords, wrist-cuff garrots like the ones I prefer to wear, two bejeweled daggers, and a mini-dazer. Doesn't take a genius to notice she avoids the most dangerous items. Foolish girl. She hopes to avoid hurting others, even the temptation of it, but others might not hope to avoid hurting her. Doesn't she know? The enemy you allow to walk away is the enemy who will return to stab you in the back.
Thank you so much for your help, she says.
Frick nods.
Any friend of Biscuit's, an acquaintance of mine who is sometimes welcome.
Laughter bubbles from her, and I hate to admit it, but the sound of her amusement enchants me. I'm the fool. Biscuit heads for the door.
1, 2, 3, time to move, my 10.
Through another stairwell, then another gate they go. They reach what looks to be an abandoned warehouse. Inside there are no furnishings. Dust motes dance, illuminated by bright red lasers shooting from every wall, blocking a large metal grate in the floor. That grate is shaped like the Troika symbol, a circle with 3 petals. We need to get to the symbol, but if we touch the beams, we experience instant torchlight. Biscuit mutters. Torchlight. For Troikans, light is power, like electricity. If a human is hit with too much electricity, his or her body shuts down. Torchlight is the spiritual equivalent. Only a spirit doesn't just shut down. A spirit explodes.
Tenley shakes her head. Not me. I'm a conduit, remember?
His eyes widen.
That's right. You can walk right through, push the lid out of the way, and descend into the tunnels no problem. Seamus is down there?
Tenley asks. Yep, so is Princess Marie. She is kept down here when danger is high. Princess Marie is Aaron's fiancée. Maybe it's the Troikan in me, but I no longer feel a need to avoid the name Aaron. Like Tenley, Marie is a conduit, and because there are only two conduits in existence, three now, with Ronan, one must be protected at all times. If both are killed, other citizens will weaken and die, and the war will be over, just like that. If I die, Tenley dies, Troika will weaken. Am I willing to die for Myriad? There is a slight problem, however, Biscuit says, and cringes. So minor, I probably shouldn't mention it. Tenley presses her hands against her stomach.
What? Tell me.
Normally I can scent us through anything, but I still got smoke trapped in my sniffer. We're going to need a lamp. We won't be able to see the passages otherwise. But if we use a lamp, Seamus will see us coming and we'll lose the element of surprise. If we lose the element of surprise, we'll lose, period. She draws in a shaky breath, slowly releases it.
Well, it looks like we're going in without a lamp.
I swallow the words poised at the edge of my tongue. Such recklessness will get us both killed, you fool. I've learned enough about Tenley to know she doesn't react to threats, dangers, and warnings like anyone else. I'll only spur her on, fuel to her fire. Besides, she doesn't need a rebuke. She needs help. Though my mind is a jumble of contradictions, I make a decision. Don't worry, baby. The dark is where I excel.
Chapter 10. Seeing is Believing. Myriad. 10. I walk through the lasers, expecting no problems. Mistake. Shadows scream and hiss, clawing at my skull. My chest constricts, and my lungs empty. Instinct demands I turn. Retreat. Leave now, now, now. Destroy everyone, always. I grit my teeth and continue forward, my fingers remaining clenched in Biscuit's fur. I won't let him go for any reason. My dog will not experience torchlight, and he is mine, a part of my family, just like Killian. Biscuit contorts this way and that, avoiding the lasers. If he accidentally brushes against one, I will absorb and store the excess boost of light. Light I can then share with Ronan when we cleanse the humans in the warehouse. With every step, Killian's last words reverberate inside my mind. The dark is where I excel. Having him with me has been a blessing and a curse, a help and a hindrance, a comfort but also a distraction. Does he have my best interests at heart? No, no, of course not. He has his own interests at heart. New Killian sucks. Maybe if I punt his face like a soccer ball a few dozen times, I'll knock Myriadian-made screws loose, and I'll start to remember our past. I'm sensing irritation. His voice is a caress along the grid, causing tremors to rush down my spine. Concentrate. If there are rats down here, I don't want to know it. Or insects. During my time at Prin, I had to eat bugs to survive. But, oh Zero, what if the rats and insects talk? Now, I'm sensing fear. Is the Mighty Ten afraid? I'm leery. There's a difference. I mean, what if I once dined on their family member? His chuckle is genuine and husky, and it warms me. How I've missed his amusement. Very few people have the ability to make him smile, and even fewer people have the ability to make him laugh. We did it! Biscuit exclaims as we pass the final laser. Thank the First King. Breathing is easier, and rewarded. The air is warmer here, and scented with manna, lavender, and orchids. The princess is nearby. I like her, admire her even, and do not want to hurt her. If she tries to stop me, however, determined to return to Killian victorious, I push aside the grate, revealing a small entrance to the tunnels. Light bursts free, pure and bright and warm. I thought we were experiencing total darkness. I scale down, down, Biscuit behind me, The scent of lavender and orchids intensifies as we inch forward, toward an open doorway from which the light seems to originate. Looming outside the door, we see the princess inside. She's standing. No, she's levitating, her head thrown back, her arms spread. She's oblivious to the rest of the world. No longer does she appear to be a living being. She is the embodiment of a true conduit. I don't mean the job title, but a channel or instrument. Awe renders me immobile. Light shines from her, bright, bright light, spilling from her pores. I'm astonished I'm able to see her, but I'm certain she can't see me. Beams of light shoot from her eyes as well. Glorious beams aimed up, up at the ceiling, through the ceiling. Around her, I hear... My ears twitch. A chorus of singing angels? The melody is haunting and gorgeous. A soothing balm. A promise that Her Royal Highness is not alone. None of us are. One of the voices stands out, capturing my attention, and the singer's identity crystallizes. Meredith. Our dead are serenading the conduit? Shock punches me. The spirits in the rest are helping her as she... She's powering the entire realm, isn't she? Sacrificing herself to save others. My awe deepens, and my light responds to hers, warming, growing, brightening. Shadows flee in terror, searching for new hiding spots. I'm witnessing a miracle, and I don't want to ever look away. This is beauty. This is life. I've never exuded so much light, even when I fought Dior's penumbra. I absorb as much as possible, strength driving the last of my tremors away. Zero. I might not be able to help Ronan cleanse the people in the warehouse after all. We'll have to come up with a new plan. There's no sign of Seamus. I force myself to continue on, Biscuit at my side. The farther we get from the room, the darker the tunnel becomes. Until, whoosh, all light is gone. In an instant, I'm weakened, which sucks more than usual, because the cuts in my legs have been steadily leaking lifeblood, and I'm out of mana. I can do anything, absolutely anything, except see in the dark, Biscuit says. Today, thanks to Killian, I'll be your seeing eye dog. I unwind a thin metal belt from my waist, then loop one end through the other to create an all-in-one collar and leash. I hope this doesn't offend you, but... I lean over, patting the air until I encounter the softness of his fur. "We'll tell no one of this," he mutters, as I anchor the collar to his neck and I want to smile. "Ever." Killian's voice directs me. "Close your eyes. Let your other senses take over." I obey, knowing he needs me alive, not because he loves me, but because he'll do anything to protect himself, just the way he's been trained. A stab of disappointment keeps me quiet. Feel the breeze against your skin. Hear the sound of it drifting through the hallways. A slight wind drifts from the left. Go against it. Very well. With my arms extended, I move forward at a gradual pace, encountering no resistance. I increase my speed, fueled by ferocious determination. Biscuit's nails click-clack against the concrete, blending with our panting breaths, creating an ominous soundtrack. Exhaustion sets in, but I remain resolute. My mind is my worst enemy right now. A whirlwind I can no longer subdue, and a bramble of emotion I do not want to feel. Less than an hour ago, I killed a man, a friend of my friend's. Guilt threatens to burn my outward calm to ash. Sorrow picks off my excuses like a hunter who finally found worthy prey. I had to kill Nico in self-defense. I could have found another way. I had no time to capture Nico and escort him to jail. There's always time to save a life. I had to choose him or me, and I chose me. Could I not have chosen both? How am I supposed to tell my friends what I've done? If Nico had survived, he might have realized his mistake. He might have gone on to do amazing things, perhaps even help save our realm. What if he was a key player, necessary for our victory? We'll never know, because he'll never have the chance, and it's my fault. Why am I being flooded with sadness? Whatever you're thinking, stop. I sigh. Killian is right. In the past, I would have broken down over something like this. At least for a little while. I've never enjoyed ending a life. But I won't break down. Not this time. I defended myself, yes, but also Killian and Biscuit. I can bring myself to regret only the need to act. Nico made his choices, and I made mine. What's done is done. Now I wonder how many other lovers Victor left behind. Who else will attack in his name? And, oh, Zero. All this focus on death reminds me of Aunt Lena's message. I jolt before tensing from head to toe. She thinks she's going to kill Killian. Has she foreseen his death? My stomach twists into those hated knots, wringing out acid. I've never had the power to change her visions, but then, I've never before known they were in fact visions. This time, I can take precautions. So, what do you plan to do with Seamus when you reach him? Good question. I'll daze him, and with Clementine's help, transport him to the house. Boom. Done. If the bucklers are down, sure. You can use your comm to transport. Good plan. If bucklers are still up, you'll have to drag the man across the realm. And we both know citizens will not be looking the other way when they see a general being hauled down the street like luggage. Ugh. He just had to go and make a good point, didn't he? What do you suggest? You already know the answer. You just don't want to do it. Now slow down. You're approaching a fork, and I need to figure out which way you should go. I ignore his comment about knowing what to do, because he's right. How can you tell? About the fork, I mean. The gloom hasn't thinned. Is still all-consuming. Subtle nuances in darkness. Trust me. I did. Once. Look what it got me. A groom with no memory. Silence. And it's like poking a bear with a stick. The anger currently lying dormant inside me yawns and stretches, close to wakefulness. My hands fist. When I reach the fork, as predicted, I pause, as commanded. I'm told, go right. How do you know? You're bound to Troika, and I'm bound to you. I feel what you feel. There's a charge when you shift right, but no charge when you shift left. Right again. My heart rate spikes as I round the corner. Up ahead, a spark of light glows. More of the princess's light? Like a moth to a flame, I surge forward. Must get closer. Strength awaits. Stop! Killian shouts the command, jarring me enough to stop me. Biscuit bumps into the back of my leg, and I stumble forward another step. What's wrong? My heart is ready to pound its way out of my chest. Look down. My gaze drops, and I gasp. Through the light, I spy a row of zigzagging spikes that extend from the ground, ready to rip me to ribbons. Thank you. Careful. I whisper to Biscuit. Together we tiptoe, hop, and wind our way past the spikes. In roughly 100 feet, there's a room on the right. I'm not going to ask how you know. Not again. No way he can miss the grumble in my tone. I palm the mini-dazer, my finger hovering over the trigger. Kill Seamus. He dared take Killian from you. He must learn the error of his ways. Not Killian. Not this time, but me. The darkest part of me. I stumble as the desire for bloodshed overwhelms me. Resist. My teeth gnash. Must ignore her. Or me. I'll daze Seamus, nothing more. Once again, I surge forward. This time counting my steps. 2, 10, 30, 90. At long last, I reach this newest light. Killian claimed the room is on the right, but the light shines from the left. I'm about to step in that direction when the tiny hairs on the back of my neck stand at attention. Electrical impulses from the light. A trick? I turn to the right. Something hard slams into my jaw. I careen to the side, sharp pain exploding through my face, stars winking in the back of my mind. Killian hisses. Biscuit growls. A booted foot kicks my stomach, and I careen once again, stumbling toward the light, then through it. Lasers. Shadows scream and claw at my skull, sharp pain shooting through my temples. No time to recover. Another kick. The taser flies out of my hand and skids across the ground, and it does reach the light. Oh yeah, definitely electrical impulses. A new kind of laser. The gun disintegrates. Attack! A command from Killian, the white-hot burn of his rage crackling, inciting my shadows. He isn't allowed to hurt you. Kill. End your enemies, end your problems. A true temptation. With a grunt, I fling myself at my opponent. He reels backward, and we fall into a spacious and well-lit room. No time to appreciate the finer aspects of the decor, or the fact that Biscuit can't pass the lasers on the door. In the light, my attacker's identity registers. General Seamus. I'm not surprised, only disappointed he's willing to harm me in order to keep Killian behind bars. We spring apart and face off. Though Seamus is taller and stronger than me, and far more experienced, I refuse to back down. I've taken down bigger and stronger. You should not have come here. You'll never convince me to leave with you. And I'll never decide it's a good idea to free the Butcher. He pops the bones in his neck. You're part Myriadian now, and it's clear Troika isn't, and will never be your top priority. And you, the guy who broke Troika's law to love his fellow citizens, to do no harm to one another, are a shining example of putting Troika first? He flinches. Unfortunately for him, I'm not done. If you only love the lovable, you're no better than the Myriadians you hate. You know that, don't you? They killed my wife. I have good reason to hate them. His dark eyes are wild, his body vibrating with rage of his own. Or is his darkness fueled by mine? She was a messenger, had no battle experience and wanted none. Like you, she craved peace. One day she was in the land of the harvest helping a human, when an ML spotted her, and... His hands fist. He beheaded her. She done nothing wrong. Nothing! And he killed her. Enough conversation. Take him out! You mean do your dirty work for you? Urgh. Push, pull. Why am I doing this? Why am I fighting so hard to free a boy who plans to betray me? And he does plan to betray me, doesn't he? The answer fills my head, and it is as simple as it is complicated. Plans can be changed. I have hope. Hope that Killian will remember our past. Hope that I will reach him. Hope that we didn't destroy our futures, but can strive for better. I'm sorry for your loss, Seamus. I hurt for him. I really do. Tell me true. Is Killian her murderer? He blusters for a moment. What does that matter? A Myriadian is a Myriadian. Do you really believe that? Is one Troikan the same as any other Troikan? As his cheeks darken, I demand. Is Killian her murderer? No, he finally snarls. Then your vendetta isn't against Killian. Stop this. You are a general, the best of us. So be the best. Set an example of love and forgiveness. I give my words a second to sink in. Pray they do. Enough people have died. It's time for peace. As if we could ever trust Myriadians to keep a peace treaty. We would merely set ourselves up for slaughter. Again, do you think we never tried your route in all these millennia? We did, and we suffered for it. Why are we not taught about the attempts? Let me guess. For the same reason we're not told about inter-realm bonding. To weed out the fools. The Prince of Ravens is to blame. Everything I've learned about him tells me this. If he were a tree, his people would be his branches feeding off him. He lies and cheats, envies and steals. When he's gone, the shadows will die. They must. You can prune the branches, but to kill the tree, you must uproot it. Myriadians will be free of their influence. Killian will be free. I will be free. You are supposed to be the best of us, Conduit. And yet you gave a key to our grid to the Butcher! Zero. It's like I'm punching at the wind, getting nowhere. He's lost people, too. His mother, Archer, and at one point even me. Having seen into Killian's past, the constant rejections from potential families, the general who beat him and made him beg. I may never get over my guilt and remorse, or my desire to hurt those who hurt Killian. I know 9 Myriadian generals died the day of my birth, his greatest tormentor among them. Deep down, I'm kind of glad.
Your compassion has ruined us, Seamus informs me.
Where is that compassion now?
No, I shake my head.
Your lack of compassion ruined you a long time ago.
My words push him over the edge. With a war cry, he hurls his big body at me. We bang together and fall. I take the brunt of impact as we slam against a table, shattering its legs. Pain sears me. As I sprawl over the remains, Seamus's heavy weight shoves the air from my lungs, empty. Stars wink before my eyes. Fear mixes with anger and congeals, becoming a hard lump I can't swallow. I've lost the fight before it ever really began. Unacceptable. In one seemingly fluid movement, he maneuvers to his knees, straddling me and cocking his fist, ready to wail. I hold up my arms, blocking him. At the same time, I anchor a finger through each of the metal hooks on my wrist cuffs and stretch the two wires across the open space between us. His fist tangles in the wires, momentum shredding skin and muscle. Glittering lifeblood pours and splatters over my face as Seamus bellows with agony. Guilt makes a play, trying to overwhelm me, but I resist. How can I hurt a general? Easily. Before he can try to land another blow, I jerk upright and slam the heel of my palm into his nose. Cartilage snaps, and a new bellow assaults my ears. More lifeblood pours down his chin. Determined, knowing I have a very small advantage, I work my legs out from under him, flatten my feet on his chest, and push. I expect him to soar backward, but he's too strong and merely tilts. Frustration mounts. Think, Ten, think! No time. He snaps upright and throws a punch. I kick up my leg, his fist meeting my thigh rather than my face, a saving grace. When he draws back his elbow to throw yet another punch, I react on instinct, wrapping both my legs around his neck and squeezing with all my might. Threat. Must kill. Guilt and remorse return, redoubled, reminding me of my choices. Find another way or deal with the consequences. Is there another way? He strains and pulls at me, but cannot free himself, and I force him to the ground. Momentum lifts my upper body, and with a screech of aggravation, I release him at last, spinning away while on my knees. I kick out my leg, my boot slamming into his jaw. Killian is silent, providing no distractions for me. Appreciate it. Fast as lightning, Seamus grabs my ankle and yanks, planting me on my back, the short swords clinking. In seconds he has my legs tied together. Once again I jolt upright, but this time he's ready and punches me in the jaw. Pain. The bone snaps out of place, annihilating the joint. There's a slight ringing in my ears, but I think I hear Killian roar. Again, the desire to kill bombards me. Must resist. As panic knocks on the door of my mind, I fall back, punting Seamus in the face with my bound feet. Hissing, bleeding, he reaches for my arms, probably intending to bind my wrists, too. But I kick up my legs again, blocking him, before contorting my body. I swipe the space between my ankles over the tip of a short sword, and the rope is rendered useless. A cool tide of relief propels me to my feet. Problem? Seamus palms a gun, not a taser, meant to stun me, but a revolver, meant to maim. He aims, fires. The bullet whizzes through my hand, cracking bones and tearing muscles, and a cry leaves me. The newest wound throbs. Other sore spots make themselves known. Warm lifeblood pours from the wound, weakening me, and I drop the sword. My relief is gone, wiped away as if extinct. Helplessness hurries to launch a coup. Ten. Killian is a commanding presence in my head, and he refuses to be ignored. Kill him. Kill him now. Before it's too late. I can see Biscuit prowling behind the lasers, as if he's considering risking his life to enter the room. No! I shout, my heart galloping at warp speed. Don't. Please. Seamus takes aim a second time. Target. Right between my eyes. Decided he's better off with me dead? Cold fingers of dread creep down my spine as shadows flicker inside his eyes.
because of me, because I welcomed the darkness. He was right about that, at least. Or maybe he's always had shadows like me, and they're just now coming to light. Maybe we all have shadows. You don't yet understand the price of betrayal. He radiates fury, letting his emotions get the better of him. But I'm going to teach you. As a general, it's my job to teach you. An eye for an eye, a hurt for a hurt. This is a recipe for disaster. But even faced with defeat, I will not buckle. I will fight for what I believe is right. How can I learn anything if I'm dead? Every word is agony, my jaw unhinged. I hold up my hands, palms out, pretend innocence. But go ahead. Do what you think you must. Just as I will. Killian protests loudly. What are you doing? No, except nothing but survival. Fight this. Fight him. Trying to spur me into killing you. Seamus stalks toward me. Too bad, little girl. You're going to face a jury of your peers and answer for your crimes. If you don't take him down, Tenley Lockwood, I'll find a way to survive without you and tear this realm apart. My eyes narrow, my lids heavy with fury of my own. Isn't that your plan anyway? A pause. Then. Tenley. Ten! His tone beseeches me. Seduction is his default after all. I ignore it. Ignore him. I must. The second Seamus is within reach, with every intention of binding me. I swing my arm. I've learned from my mistakes. With Nico, I hesitated and second-guessed myself. Too bad for Seamus, I'm all systems go now. Full steam ahead. He doesn't see the shard hidden between my fingers. Then he doesn't see anything. The tip jabs into one of his eyes, then the other. With a scream, he drops the gun to reach for his face. Cold as ice, I act swiftly, hooking my leg behind his and sending him to his knees. He hits the ground, and I press my boot into his back, holding him down. Kill him. My darker side. Again, I ignore it. What will I do for my realm? For Killian? Anything. I meant what I said. Seamus is panting, and there's lifeblood on his teeth. I won't leave with you. That's okay. You can stay. I clasp the hilt of my other sword and raise my arm. Then, not giving myself time to second-guess my actions, I swing the weapon down, down, and remove one of his hands.
Trika. From r_a_5/40.5.16 to t_l_2/23.43.2. Subject, bad news / worse news. Check it. I'm outside the warehouse with Pop-Tart, and we're peeking into the windows. We count roughly 100 humans, but there's no telling how many are inside the rooms without windows. Everyone is snoozing and strapped to gurneys. Here's the thing that's got my spidey senses tingling. There's no Myriadian buckler up. Nothing to keep me from storming inside and going crazy on potential abrogates. Why aren't they protected to the max? Why aren't MLs here acting as guards? The only answer that makes sense. Myriad wants us to break in. This is a trap. I mean, they know we'll be desperate to sneak inside to pull the plugs before any of the humans wake up and spread penumbra. Okay, here's the worst news. I know. You thought you'd already heard it. Nope. Brace yourself. Sloane Abouchon is trapped inside. I've never met her, but the grid filled me in. She's nailed to a pole as if she's a Myriadian scarecrow. She's awake, and when she spotted us through the window, her eyes went wide and she flashed the number 6. 3 fingers from each hand flashed 3 times like Morse code or something. There's a gag in her mouth, so she can't call for help or warn us about a trap. Tell me what you think is the best plan of action. If I agree, we'll do it. Light brings sight. Conduit in training. Run on errands.
Troika. From t_l_2/23.43.2 to r_a_5/40.5.16. Subject, 6, 6, 6. Do not enter the warehouse. I repeat, do not enter the warehouse. At least not until we figure out Sloane's message. As much as I want to help her, I don't want to lose you to an ambush. And when you do invade, make sure she's protected. Now, let's figure this out. Sloane and I go way back. Spent more than a year locked in Prin Asylum together. The number might deal with our confinement. But if that's the case, there are too many possibilities. The 6th girl to die at Prin, the 6th guard to die, our 6th class, my 6th roommate, our 6th fight, our 6 a.m. alarm, our 6th day together, our 66th day together. None of it means anything to me, though. 666, the universal sign for evil. Betrayal is evil. 6 plus 6 plus 6 equals 18. 18 alarms, 18 bombs, only 18 abrogates. Argon has the atomic number 18, and is the 3rd most abundant gas in the Earth's atmosphere. Louisiana became the 18th state of the United States. Whatever the answer, I agree with you. Myriad has set some kind of a trap. Continue to watch the warehouse. Let me know if anything changes or anyone enters, leaves, or even approaches. We'll design a game plan when we have more information. Update, I've got the key to Killian's cage. I'm headed back to the house. Light brings sight. Conduit and Architect. 10 Lockwood.
Chapter 11. You have a treasure hidden inside you. If you take it for granted, you will lose it. Troika. Killian. My connection with 10 ends abruptly, my mind going blank. I fight to re-establish the link to no avail. Curses tumble from my lips. She was punched, kicked, and shot. She's in pain. I know because searing pain throbs in my jaw and hand. She's losing lifeblood fast. I shouldn't care about her sorry condition. The bond is responsible for my concern, nothing more. Plus, with a little mana, she'll be as good as new. But I do care, and it has nothing to do with saving my own hide. The girl genuinely likes me. She might be the only one in the realms who does. I'm not yet ready to lose her. Going to lose her anyway, one day. Why not now? Because. Just because. Be at peace. She is strong. Capable. She will return to you. My voice, courtesy of my Troikan side, and that's exactly what it is. Troikan light, a gift from 10. Strangely enough, I'm beginning to like him. Or rather, me. Like myself. Whatever. My eyes flutter open. I'm crouched in the corner of my cage, my nose pressed into the wall. Must have given myself a time out, to better block out the rush of activity that's taken place around me. What if someone attacks 10 before she finds mana? Biscuit will guard her to the best of his ability, but what if his abilities aren't enough? How are they going to sneak past the armies to reach the house? Forget peace. I worry. As I try again to reach 10 through the bond, my fingers rub at the numbers tattooed atop the horse brand. 143, 10. Earlier I noticed 10 has 143, 11.9.12.12.9.1.14 tattooed on her wrist, and to my surprise it doesn't take me long to decipher the meanings. I love you, 10. I love you, Killian. The knowledge steals the air from my lungs. I did. I loved her. That is why I bonded with her. Numbers always tell a story, and they never lie. Is this how I felt after meeting her for the very first time, all twisted up, like a vine wrapped around barbed wire? Why remember the tattoo, though? Why now? She thinks I need to learn to trust her without emotion. The answer slams into me, stealing the air from my lungs a second time. I do trust her. Just a little, but enough. I trust her not to harm me. A little trust, a little memory. If I want to remember everything else, I need to trust her fully, with the fate of my realm. No, sorry. Asking too much. My ears twitch as the sounds of battle register. The growl of the dogs, the roar of the cats, the chorus of sounds from the other animals. Snorts, screeches, caws, bleats and brays. Marching footsteps, then racing footsteps. Shouts. Not a single gun goes off, however. The TLs must not want to shoot the animals.
Fall back, fall back!
Deacon's bellow echoes from beyond the house.
They're using some sort of sleeping gas.
I stand and scan my surroundings. Only a few feet away, a side table is overturned, an unconscious archer splayed in front of it, his body twitching. Seizing? He must have been standing at the bars of my cage, trying to get my attention when he passed out. B is licking his face. Dawn is crouched beside him, pale and trembling, staring at an empty syringe as if it has let her down in the worst possible way. Her deer waits beside her.
Whatever they did to him, he's not responding.
They? Troikan soldiers? What happened? I demand.
He went outside, she says. When he came back in, there was a dart in his neck. I pulled it out and he collapsed.
Some type of drug, then.
Give him more mana.
The more severe the trauma, the more medicine, strength, a spirit needs. Every word agonizes my jaw.
Give me some, too.
Maybe I'll heal. Maybe I'll strengthen 10 through the bond.
I'm out of mana,
Dawn says, her gaze tormented.
And I don't know if I'd give him more anyway. The first dose made him worse, I think.
Some people thrive under pressure, like 10. Some people fall apart, like Dawn. The soldiers wouldn't do anything that would lead to the death of one of their own. They had to know we'd give him mana. Maybe they want you to think he's worse after with mana, so you won't give him any more. Do it and see what happens. This is a soldier's quarters. Soldiers get injured. There's more mana, guaranteed. Ignore the pain. Check everywhere.
Everywhere, right?
She climbs to her feet and rushes around the house, her deer following her every move. I waste no time sitting and shoving my legs through the bars. With my feet braced on either side of Archer's neck, I pull him toward me. B lunges at my ankles and bites. When I run my hands along every inch of Archer's body, finding only a single dagger, will have to do. She bites my wrists. Kill him. No better time. The urge bombards and overwhelms me, rousing the new Mary Sue side of me. Harm a defenseless man and you harm your soul. Maybe I don't like the light side of me. Troikan proverbs? No thanks. But still I pocket the weapon and shove Archer back into place, B calming. 10 cut off a man's hand for me. In return, I'll let her best friend live. Mistake. If I plan to raise this realm to the ground, I've got to start somewhere, with someone, and I will. Maybe. Definitely. Just not with Archer Prince. The healer and her guardian return with a first aid kit. Unaware of what's transpired, Dawn administers a second dose of mana. Archer begins shaking more. White foam forms at the corners of his mouth.
What do I do?
She asks, her voice hoarse. Give him a third dose, I say.
But
do it! The deer rams his antlers into my cage, rattling the bars. A warning, I'm sure. Trembling, she obeys me.
You're not going to die again on my watch.
She slaps his cheek hard.
Do you hear me? You're not going to die.
Another slap. Finally, a moan slips from him, and his terrible shaking stops. As she expels a heavy sigh of relief, B dances atop Archer's chest. With a trembling hand, Dawn offers me a vial of mana.
Depending on the strength of your bond to Myriad, this will hurt you worse or help you. At least, I'm assuming. I've never met someone bonded to both realms.
I accept the vial with muttered thanks, and after a slight hesitation take a sip. Warmth. A twinge of pain. But my jaw does begin to heal. Does tens? As I drain the rest, the door bursts open. Deacon and a messenger I recognize as Clay Anders rush inside, animals close on their heels. A pit bull and a zebra. The house is basically a zoo.
Reed was captured, so the troops are backing off. They are ready to bargain.
Deacon spots Archer on the floor and rushes to his side. B Bee offers no protests, turning her attention to the pit bull to lick his face. What happened? Dawn chews on her bottom lip.
Archer was drugged, he...
What did you do? Deacon's emerald gaze finds me and narrows. For once I can honestly say, blame someone else. He went outside and he got plugged. Now forget him. He'll recover, probably. One of you needs to track down 10, now. Seamus injured her, as you can see. I motion to my body. My jaw is out of place and there are cuts all over my torso and limbs. As Clay pets a zebra, he looks me over and pales.
You could have hurt yourself just to hurt her.
Ignore the pain and the accusation. She has no mana and no way to get mana without being spotted by angry mobs determined to punish her for choosing to bring Archie Boy back to life. His stride long and strong, Clay closes the distance. Scowling, he shakes the bars of my cage. If she's hurt because of you, you'll what? I ask. Tell me I've been a bad boy. Deacon stands and places a hand on his shoulder, quieting him. Don't listen to him. We can't trust a single word from his mouth. So if he wants us to leave, we'll stay put. No, they can't. I can't even trust myself anymore. And yet, still anger burns inside me. Their inaction hurts 10. Fools. If they won't go after her, I will. Even if I have to break every bone in my body in order to slip through the bars. Or maybe I can claw through the metal. Either way, nothing will stop me. This is my fault, not theirs. I've sown dissension. Now I reap it. Ah, I'm 100% certain now. I loathe my troik inside. Deacon crouches to pat Archer's cheek once, twice, a gentle wake-up call. My former best friend moans as his eyelids flutter open. Hey, man. Smiling with relief, Deacon helps Archer ease to a sitting position. You okay? Before he can respond, the house shakes, the foundation rattling. I tense. Another bomb blast? No, couldn't be. There wasn't an initial blast or ensuing boom. The soldiers managed to override our buckler with one of their own, Clea says. I bet they just lowered it. Yes, makes sense. Now that General John has his bargaining chip, he doesn't need to force his opposition to remain inside the house. They'll stay of their own accord in hopes of saving Reed. This is why having friends or a bonded mate makes you vulnerable. When you stand alone, no one can be used against you. Take post at each of the windows. Deacon instructs the animals. They rush to obey. In the center of the room, a flash of light arcs from the ceiling to the floor. I tense all over again, expecting John to appear, ready to deliver his terms. Reed's life in exchange for everyone's cooperation. But it is Ten and Biscuit who appear. My heart slams against my ribs. I'm hit by shock, delight, and fear, all at once. She's pale and trembling, but her jaw isn't out of place. Her clothes are soaked in lifeblood. In her hand is Seamus's hand. I jump to my feet, propelled by a surge of adrenaline. It's like rocket fuel has been poured into my veins. Ten. Her wild, mismatched gaze finds me. We share a stolen moment of relief. She's here. We're together again, and all will be well. Then she collapses, hitting the ground with a thud. My own knees begin to quake. The mana I consumed did, in fact, aid her, but not enough. Help her! I shout. Or my new mission in life will be killing every single one of you. She needs mana, Biscuit barks. Get some, like, now, or get bit.
I have more,
Dawn says, her voice hoarse once again. I curse my helplessness as the healer removes the last syringe from the first aid kit. The rest of the group swarms her, crouching and blocking Ten from my view, even Archer. With a moan, he lumbers to his knees and crawls to her. My hands fist and my teeth grind, but I say nothing. Must keep my cool. Perception is reality. To protest is to reveal my thoughts and emotions to my enemies, and that I will not do. Knowledge is power. That phrase, it's familiar to me. I think Ten has said it to me. Are more of my memories returning? I back away from the action and sit down, leaning against the wall, keeping my expression blank. No one who glances my way will suspect my heart is galloping as if I'm in the middle of a race.